I say a good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is where you're listening to our little production here on the internet. It's just
recording in progress.
This is good morning to all the ships at sea and all the vehicles on the ground and all the planes in the air and all the folks where they're at. Today, our date is that we're recording this is the 13th of November. It's approximately 7:30 a.m. This is the Comedy and Sports Attack, a portion of the brand new Turd Sandwich Cafe! Yeah. So, John and I can go into other subject matter, but I want to appreciate. I want to say thank you to the original Dusty Footed Philosopher, Mr. John Case. He is the thing that makes everything go at enlightenedradio.org. That is enlightenedradio.org. My name is Michael Cucarini, and I am here to host the Comedy and Sports, along with talking about all the turds that we have to eat around the country.
When you said that, Mike, when you said that, the waves in the Pacific Ocean rose.
So we're going to get some gravy with our turd.
Right. We're going to outdo Phil Henry. That's what we're going to do. The man that invented all night radio.
The thing is you can put anything on a sandwich. That's the philosophy here. And so far, all we've seen are esteemed local and federal state government do is put a lot of shit on that sandwich, baby.
Now, Mike, my wife and I have a disagreement about what you just said. Okay. On one side, we have the shit sandwich should never be served with mayonnaise. And on the other, it should always be served with mayonnaise.
With mayonnaise.
That would be okay. Me. Okay.
There's a division in the world. There are people who really, really can't stand mayonnaise.
Yeah.
I mean, they hate it. And right. I like mayonnaise, but I use it sometimes to make other, you know what I mean? I don't mind a little Thousand Island action going on with a little ketchup and some mayonnaise mixed together, or even an aioli with some mustard. Maybe some of the brown mustard that you stir around and put on it. That's tangy. That gives you a different flavor.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a little softer. Sometimes it can tamp down the bite of one of those whole grain mustards, which is a direct German mustard. Yeah.
That's why it's got the bite.
Yeah.
The German bite. Hey, you were reporting a week or so ago that football was really thinking about moving to
expanding to Germany. Game. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Football,
and I saw a headline today about that.
The NFL had another game in Germany, in Frankfurt, Germany, at a stadium there, and it was very successful, did extremely well. Germany is more receptive, I think, to football than Great Britain, but we'll see. I mean, England right now, England's a shitstorm with its government. So, I mean, you could always I slip into that real quick, but I don't want to make any comments of that because I'll stick with the DMV sports now.
If we get into British politics, we'll
The Commanders played another great game, but they lost. Unfortunately. They left 52 seconds on the clock for the Seattle Seahawks to drive down the field and kick a field goal and beat them by 2 points, 33-31. So, unfortunately, it is the way that things go. Chase Young, who was just traded to the San Francisco 49ers, had a banner day. He had a strip sack. He had three unassisted he was a fucking monster against whoever they played. I can't even remember who the Niners played, but they beat the shit out of them. Some surprising wins in the NFL, speaking of wins, is the, Houston Texans beat the Cincinnati Bengals, which is a pretty big freaking deal. I think the Texans are announcing that, hey, we're in this conversation for the playoffs this year, so you better look out, which was interesting. We're looking at, unfortunately, Again, I'll say this again. The Caps won. They did win. Some of their younger guys or newer guys stood up and played exceptionally good at hockey. Ovechkin had 2 goals, which is always good. But you could tell the team's still trying to figure out, is it going to be Evgeny Kuznetsov that replaces Nick Backstrom? Because Nick Backstrom announced he had this incredibly intricate hip replacement surgery. He came back, tried to play, and just I think he's been told that if you continue to play hockey, you're not going to walk.
Oops.
So I'm pretty sure that is it for Nicklas Backstrom. We will all miss him. One of my favorite players of all time in hockey. I just absolutely adore him. And I met him, and I got to do a commercial with him, and that was like a real highlight for if anybody out there. I'm the fat old janitor that screams at him in the hockey rink where he comes up, he's pissed off because I keep like there's a younger janitor and then the other tells the kid to get off the ice. Then there's an older janitor that tells the teenager to get off the ice. Then there's me. I'm what the janitor turned into. So I have my keys. I scream at the guy. I said, scream, "Hey buddy, time for me to lock up." That's my big line. And he comes over, Nikki comes over, kicks some ice in my face and goes like this. When he looks down at me, he just goes like this and shakes his head. And I just hand him the keys back and go, "Okay, just walk up when you're done." Like a little candy ass, and I run away. So, he was a lot of fun to work with. He laughed a lot. We laughed a lot. It was a good, the director couldn't have been nicer. The people, the production staff couldn't have been nicer. It was a great, great day for the commercial. I think we did a good job.
By the way, since you're on the subject of your movie career, so it looks to you
it's
mentioned
not movies. Before. It's a commercial, not movies. No, don't say that. Don't
whatever.
Say that. I've only been in one movie that I approved for people to watch. That's it. All the other ones suck.
I have a different question to ask. Okay. It has to do with the settlement. It looks like there's going to be a settlement of the actor's strike, and it looks like they're going to get a lot of money. And it looks like the prices of all the streaming services, they're all going to try to raise their prices and get everyone besides themselves to pay for some of the increased revenues to the actors. What do you think about that?
And as soon as their streaming services drop by half, they'll go back to the old price.
I think so too.
They know they're going to try to lean on. Everyone knows they're going to try to lean on the public to subsidize their horse shit. So and the reality is it's just like shit for brains. It took over Twitter, now formerly Twitter, now called X. I mean, Musk is he's charging like $9 or whatever. People don't want to pay $9 to be on freaking Twitter. People don't want to pay anything. Yeah. I'm running my big fat yap right here, and I'm not paying shit. I know you probably have a lot of expenses you have to cover. But you're on a fixed income. I'm on a fixed income, which is zero until my wife decides otherwise.
Now I have Podbean. That's I pay for Podbean, but other than that,
that's okay. It's pretty,
our streaming service is called Vozcast, but they're cheap, man. I mean, they're okay.
Well, I wanted to talk about something else, Sean,
go ahead. I don't want to.
No, this
go,
is right
please.
Up the alley of sports. This is a human being refusing, absolutely, positively refusing the standard, saying, "No, I'm going to try again. I'm going to try again. I'm going to try again until I fucking get it." And it could not be more enamored with Diana Nyad. Nyad, the movie that is about her right now, starring Annette Bening, who, by the way, God bless you, Annette, and Jodie Foster. The work those girls did for this movie is just, and the movie itself is awe-inspiring. It is awe-inspiring. When I'm working out downstairs and I try to candy-ass my way out of a set or whatever, I do reach back and go, "Wow, Nyad wouldn't have quit at this point, would she? You know, I mean, that's the kind of enthusiasm that this woman has brought, and I, woman, man, whatever, this athlete has brought to the table, and I just think people don't talk about it enough. They just don't. Swimming from Cuba to Florida. Are you freaking crazy?
90 miles.
Amazing. Just amazing. And she did it. Now, there's now, a lot of contention. They didn't recognize her doing it, which is horse shit. She's 64 years old to do it. Right now, she's in her 70s. She's a force of nature.
Okay.
So, and there are people like that in the world. I mean, there are people that are just sometimes more physically gifted than a lot of folks. The other thing I would say about this weekend's football activities is, wow, Baltimore, you really had the Browns. You had them, man. I'm telling you, you had them. And then you made some mistakes. I mean, you were just – the Baltimore Ravens were literally beating the shit out of the Cleveland Browns, and they lost. Cleveland came back in the second half and won that game.
You know, I was going to –
it's a shame.
I was going to comment on this when you opened the show with how well the Commanders were playing despite the fact that they lost.
Oh, yeah, they played great. I mean, right. Sam Howell is probably – here's the statistics that jump out at you. Sam Howell is, like, in the top two for passing in the NFL. What I mean is he's had more passes, more receptions, more yards, and more touchdowns than a lot of other folk. Now, the problem is the defense is fucking paper thin. Someone, for God's sakes, please, please, I beg of you, fire your defensive coordinator.
Oh, dear.
Jack Del Rio isn't nearly as good as he says he is. Fire his ass.
Oh, man. Another man loses
God
his job.
God damn it. Right. I had to sit there and watch these guys out of alignment. We've been doing this shit for 20 years. Somebody get out there and find a Sean Taylor. Recruit some goddamn safeties and some quarterbacks to play football.
You know, you sound like when I was young, I had this technique since I didn't know much about economics. You know, I had this technique of trying to get the bosses to tell the union people the truth in negotiations. And my technique was to set fire to them, you know, and that if it got a little hotter, they might tell us a little bit more the truth.
Oh, it's steamy. Ooh. And maybe.
So I tried to
sign this.
So I was making some progress with this tactic, you know, up and down the Connecticut River Valley. And the director of organization, you know, a mountain of a man, came and visited me. He says, you got quite a few fires going here, John. You know, and it says that, you know, and he says, exactly how many of them have you won? Well, I don't know. I said, you know, I mean, we're still in the process, but regardless, it's going to be glorious. He says, that's what bothers me. How good is glorious defeat?
Wow. Wow. Jesus Christ.
So there you go.
Yeah, yeah. And then we have some interesting developments at the level, people are really, really kind of craving for the learners who own the Washington Nationals to please, for God's sakes, pick up another starter who's worth a shit. It looks as if the Phillies are no longer going to keep Rhys Hoskins. It looks as if Bryce Harper will be their going forward future first baseman. Bryce Harper used to play the outfield. He's a little bit, you know, he's been in the league. He's a little beat up. He's had some surgeries. So I think probably first base is more his preferential thing. And he has a much bigger contract than Rhys Hoskins.
Well,
good.
He doesn't have a limp, does he?
No. Okay. Rhys is a good ball player, and he's been out, and I think the Nationals are going to try to make a play for him. I would just go ahead and get off of this Aaron Nola talk. I love Aaron Nola. He's a great baseball player, but he's old. Okay? We can't bring in any more. We need some young pitching prospects. Whether that gets us a championship or not, who knows? I just know that each year that we've watched this team retool from the trades that Mike Rizzo has made, they get better and better. And Rizzo's been through this before. Tom Boswell had a fantastic article breaking all this down and how it worked. And it worked beautifully before. And I think you're going to see guys like Dylan Cruz. You're going to see C.J. Abrams. You're going to see some of these younger guys come up and play really good ball. Hell, we cut Eric Fetty loose. Eric Fetty goes into the Korean League and has the best ERA he's ever had and wins the Korean League's Cy Young Award. So now Eric Fetty's sitting up on a pedestal. All the other MLB teams are looking for pitching. They're going to sign him. He's going to get signed. Probably not by us. We probably won't bring him back, although that would be a pretty good idea. So, you know, and there's a – I guess there's a philosophy or a belief that in Major League Baseball, pitchers start to come into their prime and stay in their prime if they stay in great shape at 26 to 27 years old. 26 to 27 – up to 35. If you can maintain your health after 35, you are one lucky bastard. So yeah. There's that. And of course, the Texas Rangers won the World Series. And our buddy, our former Nat, Max Scherzer, got to pitch. He did have some injuries through the playoffs. He is an older guy, but pitched extremely well, I thought, pretty solid. Not great, not phenomenal, but solid. It helped. So it helped the Rangers, and their bats were just on fire. They just, you know, there was not a whole lot the Arizona Diamondbacks could do to stop that. So that's just the way it went. And now for the first time in their history, the Texas Rangers won the World Series. So, and I'm sure it's real happy about that. Mission accomplished. you know,
hey George, good to hear from you.
Yeah, Derek. See what happens. She you got to take the baseball and then and then throw it. See, that's how it works.
Oh, shit. I told you about almost ducked. George giving his dad a fluffy shoe to throw at the TV. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah.
Jesus. Every time Trump was on TV, his daddy got upset, but throw his shoe at the TV. So George got his dad a floppy shoe. He could just throw that at the TV.
Yeah, so it wouldn't hurt any. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, George was, actually, speaking of shoes, didn't somebody throw some shoes at him while he was speaking?
That's true. That's
remember that shit? I think he was giving a speech
press
somewhere in the Middle
right?
East. Somebody threw shoes at him.
Yeah, right. They threw a shoe at him, right?
Well, you know, it took the previous asshat 45 to make us appreciate all the little foibles of W.
Poor W.
So even though W was terrible and led us into a war, so.
It's about oil.
But that's all I got on that. I want to kind of make sure that we understand. Shepherd, the Shepherd Rams, the previous football team, of which Tyson Bagent, who plays for the Chicago Bears, is now,
hey,
Tyson
is.
Bagent is now 2-2. He is now 2-2. They won.
Okay. So
and
he's getting
he
his
starting, and the starting quarterback's coming back this week. Fields. What's his first name? I can't remember. Justin Fields, I think it is.
Justin.
Is coming back this week to play for the Bears.
Good.
And he and Tyson Bagent have this great friendship, and I just salute them both.
All right.
You know, Fields has handled this thing a way that you're supposed to. He's a rah-rah guy on the sidelines. He's watching everything. He's given Tyson all the information that he can from what he sees. And it's going to be the exact when Fields goes back and starts, Tyson Bajan's going to do the same thing. He's going to be watching the defense going, hey, man, the safety is cheating up. He's cheating up. I think a double move. You could do a double move. Boom, touchdown. So that's the kind of thing that you get when you have that kind of relationship. If you're not talking to each other and you're pissed off that you lost your starting job and you're sitting over there on the bench frowning, not helping, not participating, it's a team sport, man. I appreciate the fact that you're the most difficult position on the field. If you're the quarterback, you're the field general. That's what they always say. You got to manage everything and you got to read the defense. I get all that. But what kind of help do you think you're giving your starting guy, who's just as nervous as you, by the way? You're not giving him any help if you're sitting on your ass moping over there on the bench. So
no.
A lot of you QBs, I understand your ego.
Yeah.
A lot of you guys have been elevated to a level that, you know, none of us can even fathom. But you better be a team player. That's all I'm saying.
Now, have you seen violations of this pretty obvious principle recently?
There's been so many over the years, John. You can't. All these infighting because a group of people like this quarterback or that quarterback. Yeah, honestly, I don't know that it matters anymore. I don't know that it matters because these quarterbacks now, the way these offenses are being run, it's kind of like what a linebacker looks like. The typical or atypical linebacker used to look like the guy who played middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears for a lot of years, Brian Urlacher. Really tall, lean, big, 245 pounds. The problem with a guy like that is he doesn't run quite as fast as a tight end that's 6'8 and 230 pounds. So you see my dilemma? So you're bringing in smaller, faster linebackers so they can cover these really, really elite tight ends. The offense, I guess what I'm saying is recruiting-wise, talent-wise, I think the offenses are way ahead of the defenses.
Oh, Well,
and I think the defenses have to catch up. Now, that's what they're doing now. Now,
I think
brass
knuckles would help on the defense.
If you're the Dallas Cowboys and you have a Micah Parsons, you got no worries. Micah Parsons is he's just a rampaging beast. He's very much the way Lawrence Taylor played the game. This guy is not as big as everyone else on the field, but he's just big enough to beat the shit out of everybody.
I see.
Which is just perfect for the Dallas Cowboys because that guy wreaks havoc. When he is on the field, no one could – they're double-teaming him, and he's pushing 350-pound linemen the fuck out of the way. He's like, get out of my way.
Yeah, get out. Get out there.
Yeah. He's very strong, very fast. He's just an amazing athlete, right? I don't like the Dallas Cowboys, but I don't have the kind of disgust I had for them when I was younger. I just, you know, the game is the game. Every team's vying to try and win football games. That's what happens.
You know, if the United States...
If this team in Washington ever gets a secondary, you know, a decent defensive secondary, and maybe one or two linebackers, I think we'll be okay. But right now, I just don't see it. And they ran into a problem again this week running the ball. Yeah, they had Brian Robinson did not have a lot of yards. So, you know, you got to run and you got to pass. You can't just do one. So,
really?
Yeah, I think it's probably better that you're balanced. I mean, I know somebody like what's his name? Andy Reid over in Kansas City. I think he likes to pass, but he begrudgingly would admit it's a good idea to run the football. You know, what you got to do is give the other these defensive schemes that I talk about with Jack Del Rio aren't scaring anybody. When you're in the first or second quarter and I can read what your defense is doing, you're not doing a great job. If I can sit there and what do you think the quarterback for the other teams, he's fucking drooling. He's like, oh, look, a deep third safety, just one. There's just one safety back there. There's not two. There's just one. Hey, this is a perfect opportunity for me to audible into a bomb. Ready, shit! Ready, shit! Split right, deep, deep, deep! Hi. Touchdown. That's all I'm saying. Just...
You know, it sounds so easy when you when you're there, Mike. And I think we need to enhance, you know, some quarterbacks with some AI broadcasting tools, and then we could get a generalissimo view of the play action. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you got me. You got me thinking about Fonseca, the original voice of the NFL. Yeah, just that. Yeah, you know, that Alan Page said was the best plan for us was to all four of us meet at the quarterback.
All four meet it.
I love when I was a kid. I loved that shit. I loved it, man. It was
that's good.
Someone said somewhere, "Who's that Diesel?" The answer, quite simply, was John Riggins. Made it so incredibly dramatic, man.
He's like a Howard Cosell type character.
Well, sort of, but he just did. He didn't do live announcing. He didn't broadcast games. He was used to describe all the games in the past. They would come up with a narrative for each, for all the teams and NFL films, and those folks would record it. Right. And they didn't have the guys who started to produce NFL films, the father and son team, didn't really have much money. And now, I mean, it's because they still own the rights for production. Think about it. Think about it now. How much money they have now, John?
NFL
football is streaming. All these things are being copied and all rights reserved, baby.
All rights reserved. It's intellectual.
I produce
capital.
This shit. You pay for it.
Well,
so, yeah, it's
here's a rule from computer science. There is nothing that cannot be hacked.
Yeah.
Now, some hacks are very difficult, and not everybody could do them. But, there's a complexity theorem that actually proves that.
Yeah. I like doing this with my glasses now.
And now when you take
the hell you say?
You know, if everybody in the world took their glasses off for a minute and just took a look at what's going on, you would find
create a lot
that
of accidents
it's time
on
to put your glasses back on because you don't want to look at what's out there. It's
I'm better now.
The game of football, you think it's violent? Hey, check out what's going on in your backyard.
Yeah. If you're checking us out, and you're looking at this going, what the hell are these two idiots talking about? Here's the thing. When we start off by talking about comedy. I haven't really touched on that too much. We did reach out to Carol Montgomery. She has given us an opportunity to interview her sometime in January because she's taking on a teaching role.
Yeah.
So she couldn't really be on the show. And I appreciate her just responding to us. Thank you, Carol. We look forward to seeing you whenever you want to come on the show.
That's great.
Okay, that's good comedy.
I sort of
and we did sports. We're doing, you know, we're talking about stand up. I did watch a stand up comic, and I can't even remember his name, but a younger stand up comic, very young guy, did an excellent job. Very, very understated.
It's possible.
I really appreciate his delivery. His demeanor is very calm. His jokes are very. Very funny.
It's possible I
made
a mistake.
Talking about his own appearance and, you know, I can't remember his name now, though, but I'll figure it out. I'm sorry, Mr. Comic. The next time I come on here, I'll have your name in my head.
Mike, it's possible I made a mistake with Carol Montgomery.
Oh, no. What'd you do?
Well.
Oh, no.
Well, I was describing to her why after the first of the year would be good, except that I didn't have a very good outlook on what the next year was going to be. And that maybe she would prefer to keep talking about the one that we're in now.
She's see the shit I'm dealing with here, folks.
Anyway, okay.
See, look over there at that other screen if you can't, if you have access. Just look, listen to that other guy talking. He's a fucking, he's killing me, man. He's fucking ruining our entire show. Anyway,
I'm just saying that's the conversation I kind of had with Carol, but we left it amicably, I think.
Yeah, she's a very smart, savvy, very funny comedian. She's just funny. I watched some of her clips. I watched a clip of her, and it was just, it had me on the, I was howling. I don't laugh out loud at a lot of comics. She's just one of those comics that gets me, man, that just gets right to, I mean, it's just so funny. She's brilliant, man. So,
you know.
So there's that. And I think we've covered pretty much anything. You know, the thing is as we've said, we talked about sports. Now we're on to the Turd Sandwich Cafe. Now, this is the part of the show.
Now, do you want me to,
where we do some different things. We open it up to talk about other subject matter now. But right now, I would like to talk about dentures.
Uh-oh. Well, I don't have mine in, so that would be I wouldn't be able to I would have to be on the other side of that.
Here's the problem, and if anybody gets a hold of this video, I'll deny it. But here's the problem.
No video.
These fit perfect, see? See, these are tops, see? And they work, right? Uh-huh. Look, nothing. Yeah. Nothing in the bottom. Mm. Nothing. And I went back to see the guy who made these, and he wanted to charge me as much as he charged me before for the tops and the bottoms, just to put a bottom in. And I said,
now, when you're talking about teeth, I'm reminded of, you know, my friend Mr. Bill's advice about horses, donkeys, and mules, which he lectured me on yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, no. He's going to lecture.
And that no one ever wants to have a donkey because it's just too freaking stubborn, all right, to do anything.
Well, see, that's I don't.
And no one really wants to have a horse because a horse is too stupid.
Jesus Christ!
What you want is a mule.
Okay.
You know, because a mule is both got a good personality, you know, and is actually a smarter animal than the horse.
Okay, well,
but it can't reproduce.
I don't know that I agree with that.
So it's a. I don't. Well, I'm just saying that you know, Bill was.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Mr. Bill. Love you, but we're gonna have to disagree here because a friend of mine actually has a dwarf donkey, and it is probably roughly the size of a German Shepherd.
A dwarf.
And it lives in and out of his house. It has a big backyard. Huh. His name is Nemo, by the way.
Huh.
The dwarf donkey's name is Nemo, and he is very, very sweet and very smart. And they have a golden retriever, and the golden's name is Ed. And Ed and Nemo are inseparable. They play outside together. They come inside and lay on a doggy bed together. They're just really good friends. So, and my friend was very worried about that when his wife talked about getting the dwarf donkey. But it does have a bit of a special diet as compared to the dog. You have to get different
hay,
food for it. So,
like hay, grass, what?
It's grass. It's greens. It's treats with carrots. They will eat a carrot. You know, and they like veggies. So,
well,
dogs not so much. You ever try to hand your dog a lettuce?
Yeah.
You know, the dog will look at you like you killed its whole family. Like,
well, it's more like, what do you do? You're an idiot to give me something like that. I get
this exactly.
What kind of fool?
Which brings us up to here's the response by in the animal kingdom. I'm going to show you the response by a dog, and the response by a cat. Okay, the people come home. The dog is at the door. The cat is at the door. The dog says to itself, "Oh, thank goodness, the gods are home, and they will bequeath us with food." because, you know, you feed the dog, you take care of the dog. They must be gods. Yeah. That's the dog's philosophy. Cat. When you're taking care of the cat's looking up going, Jesus, look at these people. They do everything for me. I must be a god. See, yeah, that's the difference.
That,
right there.
Okay.
The dog thinks you're a god. The cat thinks the cat is a god. See, okay.
I don't know whether the dog has any conception of God. I mean, I've tried to have a conception of God at several times in my life, and I each time I failed. I couldn't decide what it was, a he or a she or an it or a, you know, a blinking light.
When you say supreme being,
well, that doesn't mean anything. Yeah, what is above? That? You know, that doesn't mean anything to me. I mean,
doesn't appear to you as a creature, as a human, as a what does it present to you in your mind? What do you?
Well,
thinking?
I mean, I as far as I know, I could be the finger of the supreme being.
You go ahead and
or
be
not.
That finger, John. You be that finger. I'll sit over here and be the thumb, and I'll be incredibly jealous because I know you. You will be the middle finger. I get it. You will be the middle finger. Well, hey, man, we're coming into after 8 o'clock here, pal.
All right, I got to get off the air because I got the storytelling program we got coming up later, by the way, in about an hour.
Excellent storytelling. You'll enjoy that, folks. Enjoy what John is. Right. Pick up what John's putting down. This has been the Sandwich Turd Cafe with feature on comedy and sports with Michael Cucarini. I appreciate John Case. He is the original Dusty Footed Philosopher. Please check us out. All the other varied programs here at enlightenradio.org. We appreciate you tuning in. Thank you. Have a wonderful day, everybody.